She had private rituals, private friends.
Who's gonna take care of me?
You don't think I'm gonna take care of you?
But when you die...
And she wasn't altogether there. At the end.
I don't like this. Dad, I don't like this.
What's happening?
Tina!
Don't you ever raise your voice at me. I am your mother.
Please stop.
Mom, what's happening?
Make it stop.
I just don't want to put any more stress on my family.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another movie podcast. It's bonus time here at the Amp Studio, which is really just Ralph's living room. And with me today, speaking of which, is...
Oh, Ralph, I guess.
Thanks. Just get off your phone, damn teenager.
I am trying to look for the movie, you cunt.
Oh, okay. Did I say I'm Oscar? Either way, I am Oscar. And bonus episodes are, you know what they are. If you don't know what they are, let me explain real quick. We just do one quick review, no nothing else, except for this explanation of what the hell we're doing. And bonus episodes are once a month, Ralph and I, choose a film, an extra film apart from our usual shows. And we review that film for people, anyone who donates to our show over at our website, otherpodcast.com. We'll get that bonus episode that month. And then if you don't, it'll come out that
Never.
Bonus episode 5 months down the road.
Or that.
So Hereditary, if you're listening to it like in November, I think, or December, I forget when it's coming out, that means that you waited, you know, for the later release. But if you donated, you've had it for months now. That's how it works, essentially. So I think, we have others like... Sorry to Bother You, I think, is the next month. I'm pretty sure, because we have no other movie schedule. Anyway, so Hereditary is going to be the movie for today, the horror movie that's making a big splash. So without further ado, let's get into it, shall we, Ralph? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Which one should I read?
That one.
Okay. After the family matriarch passes away, a grieving family is haunted by tragic and disturbing occurrences and begins to unravel dark secrets. This is a movie, of course, written and directed by Ari Aster. Never heard of the guy before this. I think this is his first big movie, at least.
I think it might be his first
big movie. I don't know, maybe. I'm sure he's done other things. I just don't know. Never heard of him before, this movie.
And he's only done short movies, so it would be his... directorial debut to long movies.
Feature length
directorial debut.
Sorry. Cool. This movie stars Toni Collette, Gabriel Byrne, Millie Shapiro, Alex Wolff. Those are the main four. Almost exclusively those four, especially Toni Collette. And it has a bunch of other bit players like here and there in the background.
And Dowd or Dowd.
And Dowd, yes. I was looking for her. And Dowd for sure is a supporting character. If you want to call her that, she's only like in three scenes, but she's pretty, she's pretty recognizable. Andow is pretty good.
She is. She's always recognizable.
And if you've seen, you probably recognize her from Compliance, right?
Yeah. That would be the movie.
I recognize her from The Leftovers, mainly. But yes, she's a really good actress. I like her a lot. She does cult things very well. Let me tell you a story. She does like, she belongs in every creepy movie there is, basically, is what I'm saying. So,
her and that person from The Mist. That girl, the church girl.
Oh, her name is... I was thinking Verna, but that's her name in Miller's Crossing. That's not her real name.
Well, the girl from Miller's Crossing.
Yes. I forgot her name. Marsha Gay Harden. Nailed it. All right, so Hereditary, Ralph. It's a horror movie. How do you feel about horror movies in general?
I don't dislike horror movies. I like horror movies. I like a good story. Mm-hmm. I like... I think horror doesn't necessarily have to be your typical, jump scare. I did that on purpose in case if someone goes, Jesus Christ, you just screamed in my ear.
Yeah, me. I'm listening.
Right. That's the best part.
Yeah.
So I appreciate a non-jump scare horror movie. That's just kind of freaky that you have to clench to your blanket. If it's blanket time, or whatever, or your pillow or whatever you have in front of you, you know, like a puppy, a baby, something, probably not a baby because you're watching the movie, but like a puppy, you know, something like that you would clench to because you're like, oh my God, this is kind of crazy and creepy.
Yeah.
I like that. I could appreciate that a lot in a movie. I do like the horror genre overall. I find it fascinating because you could do anything.
Oh, you think it's a genre that's kind of open to...
I think it is. It's open to the... You can leave it up to even the imagination of the viewer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say so. And so, and horror is a strange thing because it falls into... Like, the very close brother and sister to horror is clearly suspense or thriller.
Very close.
Which is like...
Sometimes you can get them confused, too.
You can. And they're so alike, these siblings, right, of genre, that they can often be subverted or sent to, like, an action genre or sent to a drama or even a comedy. You know, I don't know how a comedy would work. Those two are polar opposites. But you know what I mean? It's like they're recognizable in every other genre. It could be a Western thriller, right? It could be a suspense mystery crime movie, right? And but it's not horror yet. But it's so close to horror. And sometimes movies do extend that olive branch of extra goriness at some points. And you're like, is this a horror movie? I don't even know, you know? But anyway, but this one, I would say, and I hope you would agree, is distinctly horror, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. I think so. It's marketed that way, and I was not disappointed. So, without further ado, Hereditary. I don't know what you thought of it in advance when it was coming out, and I will get your first takes in a second. My thought was that the first time I saw it in theaters... is I had to see it twice, because not because I was confused, but because I wanted to know more what I missed. Some stuff did throw me off for sure, though. I won't lie. We do have a spoiler section, and it's I found it very cool, very fascinating, very artsy, like technically proficient stuff. I mean, like the way it gets the scare sometimes. And I just thought that it was really good to just focus on the family struggle. Like, it's just family. Like, very little, like, explanation of a lot of things that requires, like, you know, you don't have to get the cops involved and have a thread about cops or some, you know, lawyer. You know, you don't have to do all that. You don't even have to show the funeral.
You can flesh out the characters by keeping it simple and focusing
just
on them.
Just in the house, right? And then their everyday doings. So I like the focus of the film a lot. I found this movie pretty good. Scared me a couple times, legit, which is kind of hard because I don't really get that way anymore. And yeah, I totally dug it from the opening to the end. So what did you think? Dramatic pause.
Clearing of throat. Yeah, this movie was interesting, to say the least. It was... scary at points. I would agree with you. Because I found myself clenching to something watching the movie, but like eager to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's the rush.
Yeah, me too. It's like, wasn't hiding.
It's like a roller coaster kind of thing. Like, you know you're about to go down that hill.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So it's not a problem. But I did like it overall. I got lost somewhere in the middle. I don't know if I closed my eyes for longer than 2 seconds and I got lost somewhere in the middle. But not that the movie necessarily asks you to watch the whole thing, like to be completely attentive. Mm-hmm. It does reward you for being attentive. I would say.
What you mean. Yeah.
You know what I'm getting.
Yes.
I like what I do like. I like aspects of how simple a lot of things are in this movie, how a lot of practical items, I guess you would call it background items, have key things in this movie. Specifically the mom's room.
Dude, totally.
And
the year
that just
of the
adds
miniatures.
That adds a little creepiness, such a level of creepiness
to the
movie itself. And just little flares that are in the movie that are so simple that I think that we take for granted. I think we take for granted in like a big movie. Had this movie had a bigger budget, or this was a bigger director or somebody already acclaimed, and I think also, they would be like, "This is too simple. We need something flary."
And like, so it's like you know, it's in this movie, it's like a puzzle box light movie. It's like not a real puzzle box mystery.
Yeah,
not a real mystery, right?
No,
it's but not. But it has a lot of things that could be a mystery. Like it has a lot of.
It does.
Like, I don't know, not Ocean's thing, but like a Shutter Island feel.
And
like, if you go back to it, like, I didn't notice that.
Right. I want to say that the movie does give more screen time to the mother. What's her name?
Toni Collette. Toni Collette. The actress, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Annie, right?
I want to say, Annie, you're right.
It does give more screen time to her, so at first I thought we were watching a movie about Annie. 1 second.
Yeah.
And, my son's being creepy and obviously needy.
No, that's okay. That's what kids are for. They have to be that way.
And but what you realize in the movie is that it's about everybody here. I would say the least character is the father. He is a paint by numbers kind of father.
Oh man, I had such I had trouble with him.
So do I in the movie. If I had anything, that's probably the weakest point of this movie.
Yes,
but I do need some clarification, and I want to get into it with you about halfway through.
Yeah, well, we're gonna geek out on the mythology of the movie for sure.
But yeah. I do like it. Overall, I did like watching the movie. I had to watch it in two sittings though.
Okay.
Because I fell asleep one sitting.
That's okay.
I was just really really tired. No, so
sorry.
Yeah,
so this movie is isn't a mile a minute, right? But it is like a marinated thing. Like it likes to build up.
Uh-huh.
Even in a scene when you know some shit's gonna happen, it'll build up in that scene. It'll still marinate that scene for you a little bit before you eat it, before it serves it to you, right? On a ghostly, horrific platter. And one of the great things about this movie is so this movie has arguably two great things, and none of them have to do with the story, which is weird because this is why I feel like some people are detaching themselves from this movie or calling it, like, most people are like, oh my god, bomb, this movie's crazy and all that, it's fucked up, all that's correct. However, a lot of people get bogged down and get like detached from, or they get bummed out by the story, about like they find out that the story was trying to do something that they didn't expect from the horror stuff they were watching. It's like no one expected that kind of ending. Or like, oh, that's what this is about? You know, that kind of feeling. And I think a lot of people got bummed out by that. And I was like, the reason for that is because the two great things about this movie have nothing to do with the story. And that's the performances and the technique. The technique is so good that this guy could have made a movie about, let's say, a deranged cow coming back from the dead to kill his former old masters, like, or something ridiculous, or zombievers. Could have been anything bad because this guy had the technique to do it right and to do it scary. So, like, it doesn't matter what the story would have been. The horror story.
I will agree with you. The performances are what does a really good thing to the movie.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not as fluent as... I don't have the visual... the eye to see how great the technique is.
Oh, it's good.
I'm pretty sure you'll point it out to me. Yeah. Like, I'm one of those people who I'm like, I can see it, I can appreciate it.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just don't see it.
No, I mean, that's almost the mark of the good.
And that's almost something of good, right, exactly. So you will point out things for me, and I'm pretty sure I'll agree with you on a lot of things.
Like a lot of old great editors will say, like, if you never notice a cut, that's a great editor.
Well, what's funny is that... I know story has a lot to do with it, and I know if you didn't like the story, it does, I guess, depreciate the movie for you, right? Mm-hmm. As the viewer. And I know it depreciates the movie for you, but you still got to appreciate a movie. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know where it was going. I thought the movie could have gone anywhere. By the time we get to where it's going, I actually found it really cool.
Okay.
So I did like the ending, is I guess was what we're getting at.
Yeah.
It was kind of bonkers that we got there.
Yeah. Like, that's my reaction.
That's kind of what I liked about it.
I was like,
how the fuck did we get here?
Right.
Like 10 minutes ago, we weren't anywhere near this shit.
Right.
I mean, I was like,
he was at school like a day ago.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I got to say it though, the kid does, the son.
Yeah.
What
he's
was his name?
So good.
He's fucking good.
Dude, he pulls off being shit-pantsy scared.
I have to look him up because
he can show being legit scared. Like, you know, when you imagine an airplane going down or like a volcano exploding and there's no runaway. Like, you can see the mass hysteria of people's fears coming to life. This kid knows how to fucking do it. There's a few of those scenes in the movie that he really lets him do it. And it's always towards the later half, of course. But what do you think of the sister actress?
Dude, why does she look so fucking weird? Why does she look dirty all the time? She literally I mean, obviously, it was done on purpose.
Yeah.
But man, she looked like she was just like this look on her face, like this scowl all the time. And she just looked like off-putting, like RBF. To the max.
What's that?
Resting bitch face.
Oh, I see.
What's it called? Not only that, but it was like she looked fucking creepy the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like effing creepy. Like she looked almost I hate to say this, she almost looked like a grown up stuck in a little person's body, but with a grown up face.
Yeah.
Or the grown up look on her face.
Yeah, kinda like
that. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, who pissed in your Cheerios your whole life? Kind of look on her face.
Yeah.
It's super creepy though.
Yeah. It is. And it's supposed to get like an uncomfortable feeling with her. Because you're not
that's the word. It is very uncomfortable with her.
It makes the audience like instantly like the first reaction to I imagine audience members is like to not exactly not trust her, but I think everyone's reaction is supposed to be uncomfortable and watchful and something's wrong there. But then it makes the audience feel bad about it because she is, other than the pigeon head thing, which isn't really anything, she's an innocent in this movie. She's a little girl. And we're all judging her right away.
She's just weird.
Yeah, we judge her extremely right away. It's just back to high school. Let's make fun of her immediately. I'm not saying we're doing that. But like, I wasn't doing that either. But that uncomfortable feeling is stemmed from that, you know.
Yeah, no. She's just an ugly kid. She does make you feel comfortable.
Doesn't shower.
That's another thing. She just doesn't look like she doesn't shower.
Yeah. Well, that's not going to help.
And it feels like she's got hippie parents who are like, yeah, she could do whatever she wants. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't know what the... So one of the other things I said when I came out of the theater, I'm like, that will never happen to anyone I know. Well, not to anyone I know, I should say, to anyone, my family, right? Like, that will never happen. The amount of miscommunication in this family is staggering. My mom knows more about me when I walk in the house than I ever will tell her, than this family will ever say out loud, you know? And it's so fascinating. And so bizarre, and like clearly horror is made better here in America for that reason, because I've seen that kind of thing before, and it's not impossible. It's not like it's fiction, but it's not like you can imagine a family not being communicative.
You can,
and a family
100% you can.
Yeah, definitely, it exists everywhere. I get it. I just so far from my life experience that it just baffles me, and it makes me laugh sometimes too, because it's just too funny. It's just so easy to just talk to each other.
What's funny is that it feels fake. It feels like this can't happen in real life.
Yeah, it does.
But at the same time, you're like, no, you're right. I guess it does happen in real life. It just doesn't happen in my life.
Yeah, it's hard to accept it. To a lot of movies, I call bullshit on for reasons that.
And then you hear somebody else going, "Yeah, that's my family." Like to a T. Like, what do you mean?
What do you mean? You guys go around not talking all day. Right. Like, what do you do?
What do you guys do? Yeah. I don't get it. Enlighten me, please.
I don't get it. I'm not saying my life is perfect or anything like that. Neither is mine. My family life isn't perfect either. But like, Jesus, we fucking don't do that to each other. Like, are you family or not? Anyway, off a tangent there, but I'm just saying, white people, Jesus Christ, get over your shit. You have more problems than any minority out there. We should be having the problems. But that's the thing, is it?
Our struggles are other things. Yeah,
our struggles are realistic. Anyway. Damn. I know. Damn. Yeah, the problems are like, oh, yeah. They just, you know, they didn't have the right dinner at time.
My mom's always giving me shit.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck. I can't even imagine. Anyway, the point is a poor little girl. She's an innocent, but like, I like the duality of the audience. The guy casted this girl to fuck with us. Like, And then once you find out the true nature of the plot, I guess, that can go into why she looks that way all the time and all that. You can get into that and it kind of explains
you
it.
You can, yeah.
Which I guess could be a bummed out thing. But for the first two-thirds of the movie, you're thinking like she's just there to fuck you up mentally.
Yeah.
And Gabriel Byrne.
Well, you know what? I think you just... Oh. They do... It's a good... I think it's a good red herring.
Well, this movie has a bunch of red herrings.
Yeah, but it does. But I think it's a good red herring as in like... Right away, we throw things on it.
Yes.
We throw things on this character as in like...
Which is so human of us to do.
It is human of us to do, you know? But in reality, when we all should be like, no, let's give it a chance. You don't know. Right. Maybe she's just a... And the movie gives you no other reason to hate this person or to not trust her or to not give her the benefit of the doubt. Nothing. It gives you nothing besides just how she looks.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally judge her on just that.
Yeah.
And obviously the whatever she gives off.
Yeah.
Other than that, she's like, there's nothing, really nothing bad about her.
Yeah.
She's just a fucking kid.
Just a weird kid?
Just, yeah. Yeah. I mean, just a kid.
Yeah, just
she just has her own likes and dislikes. She's just not interested in what everybody else does. That doesn't make her weird.
Yeah. And then we have, I want to talk about Gabriel Byrne and his role. And I think without spoiling anything, because we could just talk about it without, like all about him without spoiling anything, which is, did the writers not know what to do with him? Like, what do you think is this purpose? Is it because...
This is the father, right?
The father. Yeah. Gabriel Byrne's a great actor. He's the him and Tony Collette are the only two that I knew. And that, of course. And
well, I've seen the other kid before.
Oh, have you? I don't know.
I've seen the Alex Wolff kid. That's the actor's name. I've seen him before in like random little odds and ends stuff.
Maybe I have. But
he was apparently in Thoroughbreds last year.
I saw that movie.
I know you did.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think I might know who he is now.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, okay. Cool. Anyway. So his the father role is so strange because
so the only thing I can come up with is that he is your typical absentee father.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for him to be an absentee father, we need to make him absentee.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time he's there, he has his input of things and he's got his, you know, he's his own persona. But we don't have enough of him because he's just an absentee father.
Mm-hmm.
That by the time we want to get enough out of him. When he's there, it's like his input doesn't even matter because you're like, you're not even here for the normal day-to-day stuff. So why should I care about your input? Like, you should just follow whatever I do, kind of like that.
So
that's the only thing I can take out about this character that's the only reason that we don't get that much out of him.
So the second time I saw it, I did gain some sympathy for him a little bit. And the first time, I thought the same thing. Like, oh my God, it's almost like, you know, remember the father in Stranger Things of one of the main kids? I don't remember. I think the main kid. How the father is never around. Like, he just says one line, but the mother's doing all the work and saying everything and, you know, corralling the kids. Yeah. And he just says one word and goes back to reading his newspaper or sleeping or whatever.
Well, he it's says, like, listen to your
But
mother.
They're playing into the 80s thing about him, you know. So well, that's
says,
why he does that.
To your mother.
And it's funny.
Yeah. You know? It is funny, yeah.
And in this one, I think... they do the same thing, but it's not funny at all. Except for one line that he has that's so fucking hilarious. Everyone in the theater laughed, but uncomfortably laughed. And I'll spoil it later. But anyway, and so the second time I saw it, I was like, I had a little more sympathy with him because he is, once you find out the true nature of what's happening, and this is another one of those things where, like, if you don't accept the ending, then it will never make sense to you. And I think that because he's an outsider married into this fucked up family, meaning, because the movie actually opens up with the funeral of Annie's mother, right? The mother's mother.
Yeah.
And she was a fucked up woman, very stern, apparently, and all this crazy things.
Right, they had a weird fucked up relationship.
Right, very bizarre.
Where she hated her a long time, but she also needed to take care of her because it was her mother.
And then breastfed her kid?
Yeah, that was weird.
Breastfed the kid, the weird kid, you know, like, which kind of tells you in a weird, non-real way, non-direct way that, you know, if she's fucked up, it's because of his grandmother. Like, it says it without saying it. And it's very bizarre, and it's, I think that just because this guy was outside the family the whole time, he's kind of meant to be on the outside all the time. And the reason I gained some sympathy for him is because he never had any control of it, even if he tried. I was thinking, like, maybe the writers just thought that Ari Aster, whatever, just thought that, like, well, if he was an all-in father, or like someone who was worried more or openly worried more or tried some stuff, then he'd have to write the mechanics of him trying to get, you know, Annie to a psychologist maybe, or the kid to something, or call the cops at some point, and create all these threads that they will have to write themselves out of anyway. So they kind of just made him an absentee father just so they can get to the fucking story. I feel like that's what they had to do, because either they show concern and they create more scenes on the movie that you don't need, you know? Yeah. So I feel like it's like this guy was meant to be like a clear fourth wheel to this fucked up family. Anyway, but Toni Collette, dude, Oscar worthy. She's so good.
I've always liked her, though.
I know, but in this movie, she's so good. Like,
I've always liked her as an actress.
Oh, like, no, I'm not saying that.
No. Yeah. What I'm saying is that I've always knew she had, like, she's always had the potential to be, she's always been a really good actress.
Yeah.
And I guess this is kind of a parallel, because she's good at that visual representation. She's good at, like, making faces, I guess, is what I can say.
Well, that's how she did the United States of Terror.
Right, that's what I'm saying. She's really good at that. She's really good at, like, giving you an expression on her face and selling it. Yeah. And obviously, that's, as an actress, that's what you should fucking do, right? Or as an actor in general. But I she represents it, like, I think to the fullest. It doesn't feel fake from her. It doesn't feel forced.
Yeah.
And I guess it's she goes through a lot of trauma in this movie, losing her mother.
Yeah, that was the beginning, and then losing her. I mean, just before the first half, she loses the kid, the daughter.
The daughter, yeah. So like,
it's such a my god, that scene was so horrifying.
Holy fuck!
So horrifying.
Yeah, it was.
I expected something to happen at the party, and when she's starting the cake, I'm like, okay, right? Does she have her EpiPen? My first fucking thought was, because I know they have them, and she didn't have it, of course. So he starts driving, and the driving scene of she's choking out and she goes out to, you know, to air, it just happens like that. It's all like, it's meant to be like his perspective in a way, because it happens so sudden that, and I love his reaction. It was so human and weird. Like the idea that he knows what happens, but he doesn't want to look at the mirror. He glances at the mirror, and the glance, it gives him nightmares throughout the movie. Just a glance
just
of the
a glance,
mirror.
Yeah.
Right. But he can't look at the mirror. He can't look at her fucking headless body. Yeah. It's so weird and fucked up. And you see the next morning, that's a really powerful imagery. Like, I like the movie for that alone. Like, if the movie was bad after that, I still would have recommended this movie.
Yeah.
But what did you think of that whole thing? You know, how I'm coming home, letting the mother discover it like that? Like, the next morning? Oh, my God.
As an adult, it's kind of hard to think about that as an adult. I honestly, at first I thought like he got rid of the body or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, and I was like, this is fucking weird. And then I thought at one point, okay, maybe it's a dream.
It's just shock.
Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's just like he thought it happened. He was high or something crazy.
Right.
Right. You never know, right? And nothing of this ever happened, or it's like a foretelling something, because I don't know where this movie's going at this point. And because it's still the beginning. But when the fucking mother just screams and you hear her, you're like, holy fuck, it actually happened.
Yeah.
You're like, that's fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
And it is an honest reaction out of a kid. Like, he doesn't even know that he's completely shocked.
He's no process. I think he only just thinks I need to go to sleep.
He's done.
I need to wake up. I need to go to sleep. Like, he's no.
And like,
not even that.
It's fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
And that's just, I don't know. It's fucked up, though. Fucked up crazy fast scene. You're right. It's like 5 seconds it takes from the moment she does it.
They really linger on that head for like a minute. It feels like a minute. It's not a minute.
It does, yeah.
But it feels like an hour, actually, with all the ads crawling. It's like, oh, bro.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Why? And then the movie really goes... So at that point, I really, really thought... I did not know this movie was supernatural.
You okay, Mo?
What?
Is there something on your mind?
Is there something on your mind?
It just seems like there might be something you want to say.
Yeah. Like what? I mean, why would I want to Say something so I could watch you sneer at me.
Sneer at you? I don't ever sneer at you.
Oh, sweetie, you don't have to. You get your point across.
Okay, so fine, then say what you want to say then.
Peter.
I don't want to say anything. I've tried saying
Okay, things. So try again. Release yourself.
Oh, release you mean?
Yeah, fine, release me. Just say it. Just fucking say it.
Don't you swear at me, you little shit. Don't you ever raise your voice at me. I am your mother. Do you understand?
You knew that I...
How about this? Let's call it spoilers now. I'm gonna, before I say that supernatural sentence, I'm just going to put the clip in. And if you guys already know this, because magic of editing. So, we're in spoilers. I did not know this movie was supernatural. Mm-hmm. Because even at that point, which already weird stuff was happening. There was weird little background stuff. They talk about the grandmother. They do have some witch symbolism that I noticed the first time I saw it. I just didn't put two and two together. And then... So, but I thought this movie was about a tragedy. Like, tragedy striking this family in a way that's... I don't want to say the word hereditary, but the way that it's, you know, passed down in a way, like torture to torture kind of thing. And I thought, like, now that Annie is the new heir to this family, she's got to fucking suffer everything, you know, or whatever. I don't know what, you know. Yeah. I thought it was going to be more like that. I really had no idea. The whole movie could have been just about the mother dealing with the son and, like, can she look at him and can he look at, you know, and that would have been an amazing movie too, I'm sure. But the movie doesn't do that. It just keeps going down this rabbit hole, and it gets more freakier and less realistic. But does it get believable for you still? That's my point. Up all the way up until the ending when they get into the treehouse.
I mean, I guess it loses me at one point, and it loses me somewhere in here.
Yeah, that's right. Where does it lose
me? It loses me after... There's like this weird scene. Mm-hmm. She gets... I don't know if I'm missing a whole scene or not. I don't think I am. But I just like for some reason... And I know the movie shifts there. But the movie kind of loses me right there where she gets that weird seance from her friend.
Oh, when she finds out that she can talk to her son.
Where they talk to the seance person, right? The first seance, she's like, take this stuff. And then she leaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it loses me. Like, there's a weird lapse there that it loses me. Did I miss something? Like, what's the next scene?
Well, what's the next thing you remember?
The next thing I remember is that she goes home.
And does a seance on her family?
Well, there's just a little stuff in between in there.
Yeah,
where you have, like, some struggle with
the son. I think there's another school scene with the son.
The son, yeah. You have the struggle with the son.
Like, he hears that or something. Which is creepy.
Yeah. Like he's like remembering her.
Yeah.
Or everything, like all of a sudden he's noticing things.
Yeah.
Right. Or he's just going mad. One of the two. One of the three.
Just fucking trauma, man.
That happens. Right, exactly. Oh. Yeah. And then I don't know if the movie just shifts completely or if I missed something in there, because I felt like the tone shifted very fast.
I think, yeah. So
I don't know if the tone just got me all fucked up. Because I wasn't expecting the change.
Yeah.
And it just changed all of a sudden. And I was like, wait, where am I now? And I felt like the movie just made a, not a 180, but it made a fucking 90 degree turn. And I was just like, what the fuck happened?
So I think that what you're describing is, because I think another thing I noticed the second time, and I guess I have to watch it a third time to really know if I got this right, is that around the time after the seance, after she gets wind of supernatural, right? She sees for her own self that this woman can talk to her son, right? Shit's happening. Ouija stuff, right? Not Ouija, but witchcraft. And around the time when, after that point, right after that point, and then around the time when she starts showing her family her what she knows, right? How she can get the weird daughter to do stuff. The movie starts looking different, a little different. Everything looks darker, slightly darker than it was before. I feel like it does that. That's where I might be wrong or not. I have to watch it again. But what I noticed for sure, though, is that it does open up the gates to, like, immediately all supernatural stuff is on the table. Immediately, like, the son is getting more traumatized.
Yeah.
Visibly all the time.
Yeah. So did I miss anything before that?
No, I don't think so. What do you remember
happening before that? Because there's something...
I don't remember. I mean, I'm pretty sure...
After the funeral, what happens?
There are three... There are three scenes with a boy in school. I think we're missing. I think the one of them is that one. So the third one is the really fucked up when he breaks his nose.
Right. But what happens after the funeral for the daughter?
Well, they have that dinner scene
where she's like, "Why do you look at me like that?" Right.
Right. Where they have the fight. Like they have a
fight where he's like, he's asking me like, "Why
and
do you
hate sleeping
me?
In the treehouse every night with the heater on?"
Is that what I'm missing? Maybe. Is that where she's sleeping?
Yeah, she's sleeping and she sees the red light. And the boy notices it every night before he goes to sleep. Actually, I don't know if you noticed this. When he gets home, he waits for her. He doesn't wait for her. Sorry. He, like, steals himself for, like, 5 minutes outside the house before he goes inside. And one time, right before the ending third act part, is Annie was waiting in the car for him to go inside before she left. It was a weird thing. He didn't know she was in her car. And Annie was waiting for him to go inside the house for her to leave. It's a very weird thing. But anyway, that's another one of those non-communicative things. But he has to steal himself to go back in the house because he can't deal with what he did. So, and I think that was probably right after that dinner scene where they fight it out, or right before, I don't remember. But yeah, that happens. And she is sleeping over there every night, and the husband's, I guess, quote-unquote, trying to get through to her in some way. And that's, I think, one of the points right before he gets really frustrated. This is months later, I guess, or a week later. I don't know how long it's been, really.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm having.
The indication is that it's been like at least a few months. I think so. Based on the work she's doing, I think they show time moving based on her miniatures. Like the first time you see the stuff, you see two of those installations built. By the end of the movie, before she destroys them all,
she's got like a whole fucking colony.
You're right. So that's months of work, rough. So
I guess, man. That is the problem I'm having with this movie. I don't know.
And it's supposed to feel that way, I think, because at the same time, it's showing you Annie's perspective, who it clearly doesn't have her head in time. She doesn't have a calendar in her brain right now. So all she's worried about, all she's thinking about is her dead daughter, the son to fall dad, the husband who's trying to fuck her that doesn't want to touch her, you know, and just thinking about horrible things, right? And the son... Warrior, she's thinking of worse things, you know, like he's traumatized to hell. He might as well have been to Nam already because that's how bad he is. And so I think we're supposed to feel like there's the shift of time is fucked up for them.
Okay.
I think it's on purpose, but at the same time, it does throw you off.
You mean like they kind of like live in a daze?
Yeah. It does throw you off, though. You're right. Okay. Could be a fault. Maybe they should have done more.
I feel lost somewhere in between there. And maybe that is like a big problem with the.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, that's a problem with the movie.
Dude, when you have a miniature of your own dead daughter scene.
Yeah. So I felt like that happened way too fast. Because even the husband comes in, and that's like one of the, I guess, more powerful scenes with the husband, because there's very few of them. He's like, "Jesus Christ, Annie, why are you.
Don't let him see this."
Right. We're like, why are you doing this? He's like, yeah. And she's like, "It helps me cope with it."
Which I understand.
And I was like, That's fucked up.
But I understand that, though.
Like,
that's her way of.
I understood it too, but I still said that's fucked up, girl.
That's hella fucked up. She got every detail.
She fucking did because it was so freaky. You weren't even there. Like, fuck.
Right. So she had to go back. Clearly.
Yeah.
And then figure it out.
Right. Don't show the fucking son because that's fucked up.
That's. Can you imagine if he walks in there?
Oh my god. Mom, hey, did you leave the? Oh my fucking.
Just paralyzes on the ground and crying.
Yeah. Like I was just looking for fucking like some scissors.
Yeah. Some glue.
Right. Sorry to get really amped up there.
No, you're supposed to. In the audience, I remember I had a great audience. They were so into this movie. It was like pin drop times, and then other times, like, what the fuck? This one guy was really loud about it. He and I did there's only one funny moment in this entire movie.
Okay.
And he and I laughed the hardest, this other guy behind me. And that was when, so they find, this is when Annie discovers that her mother's corpse is in the fucking attic. Of course. And she goes down and this is after she's figured out that trying to burn the book, which is the connection to the underworld, I guess, burns her too, right? That scene was cool. It was after all that and she's trying to like plead to her husband, this is real, this is what's happening, that my mother's corpse is up there, but there's a symbol, you gotta see the symbols up there. And he's like, so there's there's other stuff on top of your mother's dead corpse up there. Like, sure. He just says it like the way he says it.
Okay.
Like, of course there is more than that. You mean more to the mothers that buy? Like, of course there is. Yeah. Like, just says it's so funny.
Yeah, okay.
And he's so obviously deadpan about it, but
right.
We all.
He's like, sure.
He, me and this one guy laughed so hard at the theater. We just wanted some kind of comedy in there, clearly. It was just so bummy. The whole movie's dreadful. And, yeah, and that was like, I think that leads to his burning, right? That's when he dies, so he's in after that.
Not too much after, yeah.
Yeah, pretty soon after that. I mean, so once the witchcraft start coming in, by the way.
Yeah, so you are right, though. When the movie introduces the whole seance thing, and you're like, oh, this isn't just some bullshit that's some thing that she saw in an infomercial, right? Or some guy. You in the audience, you know, some bullshit, right? Which it totally sounds
like. Look at
like.
Me. I'm a famous historian.
Well, right, exactly. and then they try it. She tries it at home.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy fuck, this thing works, right? Because you obviously already saw it once working, but you still had a doubt. Because you always have doubts with this kind of thing, right?
Always.
And then you see her try it, right, in this perfect setting with the windows open and all this craziness shit. And it works, right? It's kind of fucked up that it works, but it works. And you're like, okay, literally the gates are open. Everything's kicked open. You can basically say we can do whatever we want in this movie. To the supernatural stuff.
Yeah.
You can bring whomever. I can see the exorcism movie shit coming in. All this craziness. I mean, you can.
And you do.
And you do. Yeah.
When she's climbing up the walls and shit. Dude, okay, so I think another thing I thought of this movie the second time, again, this works when you watch it again, is that you feel the grand design. You feel like there's this master plan at work from the very beginning, from the death. It's like the plan starts when the grandmother dies.
Do you think?
Yes.
I do agree.
Yeah.
We know why, because of towards the end. Mm-hmm. Do you think they do a good enough job of her sleepwalking issues? They kind of only bring it up like once or twice.
No, the thing is that the once or twice they brought it up, it was Toni Collette saying it in such a powerful way that I buy it. Because the first time she says it is that she was covered in kerosene. Apparently this happened years before. And she was going to kill her son. She was like doused herself in kerosene, had the lit match ready to go. Or had the match, not lit, but about to light it. And she woke up. Can you imagine? And she was just telling that story, you know? And then you get it the second time, it kind of, I bought it, you know. I mean, for me, it was enough. Barely, though.
I just think because, I think it's we see, this is another thing with the movie for me. For me, it's that story she says sells me. But the fact that we only see her do it once, and I think the problem with the time skip, there's a lot of time in this movie that isn't accounted for.
Yeah.
Because you feel like it's maybe been like max of a month or two.
Right.
But it's probably been a lot longer than that. What's it called? Just doesn't fare with me well. Because it doesn't, I feel like there's not enough there for me to sell, for it to sell me on it. Hmm. On her having that actual big of an issue. But I only saw it once. Because I didn't forget it, that scene that she had. I was like, it looks like it's isolated events. I guess that's what I saw it as.
No, maybe she used to have them more and then stopped having it for years and years and just had another one at the heightened stress of her life.
At the heightened stress, yeah, right.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I took from it and why I accepted it much more easier than you did. I didn't really question it as much, actually at all, until right now. So, but I understand that. And this grand, like the second I saw it, before the car accident where the kid dies, the daughter dies, you do get a flash of that light post that she hits her head on, and you see the symbols of the witchcraft on it.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. Before the car crash, you see it like when they were. I think when they're driving past at some point. Yeah, before the party and everything.
Get the fuck.
You see
out.
That? Yes. It gives you this feeling of grand design. Like it has to do this certain thing in a certain way. And I'm not gonna pretend to know what kind of witchcraft or demonology they're doing. This is all fiction, guys. But the understanding that I was able to get, the interpretation I got, is that the daughter dies first because it's the grandmother's soul in her or something like that, and that she was overtaken and she's the vessel to bring on this next thing. And also, I think her being killed by the son accidentally is you have to weaken the kid. I think one of the literature things that they read that Annie finds out later on when she's like going all manic and stuff, she reads that in order for this god, what's his name? I forget the name of the god they're trying to get. This demon guy. In order to get him, he needs a male host that is completely weakened in mental constitution. So they got to break this kid down. They hella break him down. So goddamn much. Actually, too much probably. They break him down to a shell of a person by the end of the movie.
He's just like on motor skills.
Yeah. I mean, when he wakes up with that bloody nose, the movie becomes him. It's his movie after that because the mother's gone already. The father's dead. Everyone's gone. And he wakes up with that bloody nose in that house all alone in the dark. It feels like a Resident Evil movie. And it's like, oh, my God. Like, I'll jump out the window.
Right.
I wouldn't have gone through the house. I would not. I would not have gone through that. I wake up in a daze from what happened at school with that bloody nose. No. No, I would not deal with anything.
I mean, I would have yelled at Alexa, turn on the bigger lights.
Yeah, I would try to turn on it. Hey, he never turned on any lights, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember anyway. And then you just see, that was a perfect shot. Oh my God, you see the mother's hand. Did you see? Notice there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just say this movie rewards you for the little things of paying attention.
Yes. And it's funny, in the audience, you could tell people gasping when they were noticing at different times. Yeah. Like, holy shit. They're like, it was great.
I noticed it right away.
And
I'm like, well, I'm that kind of guy. Like, I like to focus in on things, but
yeah.
I noticed it right away. I was like, fuck me. Like, that's the first thing I said. I was like, oh,
yeah.
I go fucking crazy. And you're just waiting for the whole time.
Yeah. They even have a red herring for Annie. Annie thinks that burning the book will get her burned, but it was a red herring to show her that burning the book will get him burned.
But why is that?
I think it's, I guess he was like, there's an order to it. I guess that's what
yeah,
makes most sense.
Yeah, but why?
No, I don't know.
How is that book does that to him?
Oh, I don't know why. I think it's all just fucking, I mean, that's just,
see, that's like,
that's just magic.
Yeah, yeah, but that's just like a weird.
Well, I don't know. I don't know every answer.
Don't know every answer. Also, yeah. I have another question.
Yes.
Because I know we're bouncing around and we kind of just jumped into it because we came from another subject.
Yes.
And we should have gone from the beginning on how it went, but we didn't.
Yeah.
We have, there's this like instant where she's like, I guess when she tries to burn the book and it burns her, but it doesn't burn her. Mm-hmm. And she realizes that it's the book and not her. Right. And she's, you know, puts it out or whatever. And she knows that the mother's corpse is upstairs already, right?
I don't know if she knows yet.
Has she not gone there yet?
I think she goes after that.
She goes after that?
Because and then, if she goes to Ann Dowd's place, notices the quilt on the floor, notices that she has a bunch of... Oh, no, you don't see that. The camera sees it, not her.
The camera sees it, yeah.
And it's like, oh, fuck, right? Immediately, right? And then she sees the quilt, notices that it looks just like the mother's quilt, what she used to do, the floor mats, and then goes into the picture stuff.
Yeah, the single she goes raving lunatic
right.
mode and goes into the pictures, and then there's like a trillion pictures of them together.
Yeah,
and you're like, holy fuck! So they're obviously together. They obviously have a relationship. But I get there's another lost place I get here. It's like where they make this connection to where she's reading the book about it, or I think she's the one who reads the book, right? About
she decides to use the little girl's doodle book. That's the book you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like the doodling book. She uses that to anchor her spirit so when she does seances, it'll call her. That's what she's using it for.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of like, so I think the whole reason Ann Dowd's there is to show her how to do this. So when she does it, the spirit and the anchor of the grandmother, I think, is now there now. And then the grandmother's spirit, evil forces, whatever you want to call it, is to start manipulating things. Like, she opened the door for her to come in. Like, thank you, daughter. Now I'm going to fuck up your family and get you all at the right place at the right time so you all can die. And I think so.
Yeah. So who set all that shit up there upstairs?
Oh, including her cult members. Because, you know, when the kid wakes up, they're, like, in their rooms. You notice that? When the kid wakes up from his broken nose. Sorry, I'm skipping again.
Uh-huh.
There's, like, at least two... One in the background, and then one that's clearly blatantly naked right there, coming out of a closet door. One of the rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They've just probably been in the house this whole time. Or around the area, yeah.
Because at first I thought it was a dead mother or the dead grandmother.
No.
And I was like, it looks kind of like the dead grandmother. And I was like, but wait, what? That's what looks so confusing.
Because she looks so specifically stern and skinnier than most.
Well, yeah, no, I so just like, I guess I just confused it for that.
No, that's a was like, I think that the one guy that's in the main foyer part in the main area, that's a guy, if I remember correctly.
Right, yeah. It's fucking weird.
When I first saw it in theaters, though, I thought it was like the spirit of the dad for a second because, like, was that what's happening?
Yeah,
but like, no,
that's
I didn't.
That's what I guess.
Yeah,
I,
yeah.
I
but I'm telling you, it's one of their church members, one of the evil church members. Yes. Yeah, that's up in the treehouse, all naked.
Yeah, weird. Yeah.
Yeah, that's seems like a good one. Yeah. Okay. So, like, I'm understanding that they did it. But the second, and you know, Gabriel Byrne's character knew that they desecrated the ground. Someone had dug it up, and he kept it to himself. But I mean, I almost feel like that's, I guess, okay, because this family's gone through enough. Why even bring this up? But at the same time, like, probably should have told him by now. he does it too late.
It's like that lack of communication you brought up.
Yes, totally. I mean, I'm saying you should have waited, like, you could give it a week, but not like months and months, man. You could tell them, please. So this movie, I think the more you focus on the plot, Ralph, I think the less rewarding it might be. It's just that I think the ideals of it is like there is this evil black cult, satanic cult, clearly satanic, out to destroy this family for the means of resurrecting this god that will give them riches in return. That's all you have to worry about, right? The rest is just awesome fucking scenes of horror. Like, I think if you just join those levels, the movie's amazing. If you start bogging into the details, I think the more you watch it, maybe the more you get out of, like, I got out of this other stuff. But, like, ultimately, it's not like The Matrix where it gets better as an understanding for sci-fi. It's not like that kind of movie. It does have holes, I'm sure. I can't explain everything either. I'm sure the movie doesn't either explain everything. They have to edit some stuff out. But I just, dude, that scene when the husband dies from the book fire slash whatever, and you see that light, because they always do this light trick, too.
Yeah.
And then she just completely... that Toni Collette does this amazing face where she's, like, freaking out, seeing her husband getting killed, and then completely goes blank and gets possessed instantly.
Yeah.
That was a good scene. That was such a cool scene.
Well, the son is the one who first sees the light. Am I correct?
Yes.
So
and that, it's cool, I think.
That's a simple little trick that I was bringing up that it...
Oh, no. The daughter sees it first when she's out walking.
When she's out, okay.
And she sees the grandmother up in the grassy knoll or whatever.
I could have, okay, I remember now. So I thought I'd seen it before. I was like, why does it look familiar?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, okay, I remember. Mm. So but when the son sees it and you see this trick, because he's freaking out at this point, especially with the light, when the light happens, it's like, now it's here. Now I'm here. Now this is, now I'm invaded your complete space.
Yes.
That's a simple little visual representation. It's almost too flary at one point, but it's also super simple. That it's just like more like boom.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, and that's like a visual representation
that's really
of
cool
going
touch.
Boom.
It's a touch.
And it's a nice touch in the movie. Yes. That's one of the things I was trying to mention earlier.
That's one. Okay.
It is a simple, small touch that they add to.
Yeah.
That adds to the movie, doesn't take away anything from it, and doesn't take much at all to make, to do.
I agree. One last question, because we should cut it. I guess we've been recording for a while. It seems like we both enjoy the movie, even for the stuff, you know, overall, definitely. And my question to you is that, did you find the ending ridiculous? I only ask that because a lot of people found the ending ridiculous. I'm like, I don't want to skew your answer. You answer first, and I'll tell you mine. Did you find it? How did you find it? What did you think of the ending?
Well, I didn't find it ridiculous. I didn't find it
good.
I didn't because ridiculous. I think it's just too big good of answer. A word.
Yeah. Or what did you find in this? What did you think?
I don't know what I found it. I actually found it almost, almost unsatisfying to the part that I didn't get more. Like, I felt like we struggled to get here, and I didn't get enough. I didn't even get the flair that the kid was completely possessed, even though I know he was possessed already. I felt like he was still on motor functions. He's still when he gets there, and I didn't see that he got possessed because he's supposed to get possessed once he gets up there.
Yes.
Now he's broken 100%, right? Yes. When he falls out the window.
It's like
I thought
his
he
mortal
died.
Death.
I thought he died.
Right.
And he
mortal
didn't.
Death and it isn't. Right.
And it isn't, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's walking and then he's accepting that these naked people are there. And he's walking up there, right?
Yeah.
And he gets up there and then they're all bowed at him. And it's all of a sudden like he's I don't know if he's already possessed, or I don't know if I'm waiting for him to get possessed. And because the movie doesn't answer that for me, because I don't get anything from it, I feel like, what the fuck? That's how I felt. That's how I left the movie. And I was like, what the fuck?
No, it's funny. You got more?
No.
Okay. It's funny you said that, because I felt also somewhat, I felt satisfying too, unsatisfying, sorry, about the ending, because it feels like the rug was pulled under you. It feels like the reason for all of this suffering and trauma was for this?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of feeling. But at the same time, it is the actions of this clearly selfish cult leader woman who died in the beginning of the movie, the grandmother, and these followers, that these people's lives were just Play-Doh for them. And then once you accept that, then it's just the movie is actually probably just, you know, not honoring, but like, and just showing you just their point of view, the point of view of the victims. And there's nothing you can do about it. Like, these people were doomed from the beginning of the movie. Nothing they would have done would have. It feels like I can't blame the movie, but at the same time, it does feel unsatisfying. It feels like there was something missing, or you wanted something more, or you wanted the reason to be more important. Or more, I don't know, more personal maybe. Something.
Yeah.
And obviously, that's what led to a lot of people saying the movie's ridiculous. But a lot of people complained about the old people that are naked there. I'm like, people complain that looked hilarious to them. It was all ridiculous that they were doing this demon thing. I'm like, why is it ridiculous? The movie takes the same tone throughout the movie. If you like the other scenes where they're talking about this guy, why didn't you like the scene when they're resurrecting the guy? It doesn't make any sense. I was with the movie. If you're with the movie, you don't find it ridiculous. How do you detach yourself and just say, oh, old people naked are funny? No, I thought that was creepy. It was perfectly normally creepy to me. It wasn't. So that's why I was like, that's why I was asking if you found it ridiculous. But because I didn't. So, but I'm glad you didn't either. It does feel, I understand that feeling of unsatisfying ending.
Well, I guess for sure. I'm unsatisfied because, like you said, this move, these people just went through all this fucking shit. Mm-hmm. And I went through the journey as well. And I was like, did I even get my answer? Did it happen? All these followers are saying it happened.
It's like one of those mythological creatures.
And it's good.
What's the answer? Like, you're not asking the right questions. Yeah, right. Maybe you weren't.
Maybe I wasn't.
The movie's saying, fuck your answer. This is what's really happening. I don't know what. It could be nothing. It could just be a guy wanted to make a cult movie through a perspective of the sacrificial lambs, right? Like, they don't know what's going to happen to them. They just know that you just know that they're the sacrificial lambs. Maybe that's the whole point of the movie, right?
Yeah. Totally fucked up that second in command cult leader, whatever, the girl that the grandma's friend
and
sets up Annie.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Totally fucked up, especially when you find that out. And that you find out that she basically set up everything, and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Dude.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
You're like, oh, just read this. This is some weird language. Like, what do you mean some weird language?
Yeah,
when
she said that.
When she said that, I was like, why wouldn't
never.
You even Google
that? I thought of Kevin that was like, don't read the Latin.
Right.
Right? Don't read the Latin.
Are you fucking kidding me?
What is wrong with you?
I like how we never see her read it, but she said she already had.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Did Aunt Dowd read it? No, right? No, it was never read. You probably can't make something up. It's probably better to just let them.
Yeah, it was like a smart thing for us never to hear.
Yes.
Because then you're like, oh, it's just made up gibberish. Or...
Right. No, you're right. Exactly. People who Google it. Like, oh, it's made up gibberish. Oh. Yeah, people suck. Just saying. You have to Google everything, guys. Anyway, I think that's it for our review. I think we enjoyed it. We recommend it for horror watchers.
Yes.
All right, so that's Hereditary. Thank you for listening to this bonus episode. Apparently, we're longer than usual. And we'll see you next month. Until then, I'm Oscar. I almost forgot that part. You're what?
Since you forgot it, I'm Ralph.
Thank you.
Mr. Daniel? I'm finished.